Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So thankful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And as you know, on Fridays, we take up certain subjects of the Christian faith, the church, that are contemporary issues that the church is struggling with. And today I thought I would take up the subject of legalism. You've all heard it. That church over there is legalistic. And immediately the flags go up. What does that mean? What is legalism? The charge of legalism is so carelessly flung around today that I'm often surprised that people, when you ask them and probe them as to what legalism really is, they have no idea of what the term means. Today, it's become a sort of catchphrase and a way to write off any church that is doctrinal. A word, of course, even doctrinal, that is much of an embarrassment to people today. There are generally three ways this term is being legalism is being misapplied and abused to attack churches that have remained convicted about the commands of God. Certain ways worship is to be done. Certain ways the commandments are to be honored. Let's go through this today, and I want you, as you hear these three ways, to think about, what do I understand by the word legalism? What do I understand by it? First, who is charged today as being legalistic? Churches today that are serious are often characterized as legalistic. In fact, any church that is serious anymore, quoting David Wells, will stand out like an organ stop and will be labeled as those who are joyless and legalistic. You wonder, of course, how a casual presentation of a guy sitting on a bar stool, a guy coming up giving you tips for life, just as if he's one of the buddies, really comports with a Savior whose sermons were characterized as hard to understand and that were delivered with notable authority. Nothing about Christ's preaching equated to a theater. But for some reason today, people are equating legalism with formality, as if freedom means casualness or a happy-go-lucky attitude. I have known of churches who actually make their members sign membership commitment forms. Now think about legalism here. Membership commitment forms that make them promise that they will dress down, that they will not wear a tie. This is the first way. Churches today that are serious or formal are characterized as legalistic. Second, legalism is being carelessly used today to attack people's liberty. This is a very important point. I have noticed the reverse problem of striking at a brother's liberty because he wants to, for example, offer the first fruits in the way that he dresses when he comes before a holy God. This is an area of liberty. But they make, quote, this is what I hear, they make all their people dress a certain way in that church. How many coats did you see in that church? How many suits? How many ties? Broad characterizations and generalizations are made this way and lumped together as legalistic, when in fact, practices of people are often birthed out of a genuine gratitude for the grace that God has given to them. In other words, somebody says, I want to wear my best to worship the Lord today. And that is being attacked as legalistic? In other words, a lot of these churches keep kicking the traditional churches, I see this in Linden and elsewhere, as legalistic in matters of Christian liberty. They wear ties, they sing out of a songbook, these sort of things. So that's the reverse problem. That's the second one. The third problem, and I believe that is the most dangerous, the charge of legalism is made against those who are sincerely trying to honor the law of God out of gratitude. Now, none of these Christians today, I'll come back to that in a minute. None of these Christians today would advocate that Christians should murder, steal, commit adultery. We could go right down the line. No Christian could stand up in a church and say, look, it's okay to do those things. It's okay to steal. It's okay to commit adultery. No. But we also forget that in the first table of that very same law is the second commandment that forbids making images or icons or images of the Lord Jesus Christ for worship, since it's expressly condemned in that commandment. Well, I've had it happen. You tell someone that a movie that depicts an image of God, when God did not give us an image of himself. He wanted us by faith to live in the Word. Remember, blessed are those who believe in what? Do not see. Those who are looking at images and trusting in images and looking at images are offending the Lord. It's a breaking of the second commandment. But let's say a Christian wants to honor that commandment. That commandment has been historically understood that way. Now that is legalistic. So see what's just happened. We've picked and choose of the commandments that we like. And understand, we couldn't murder, couldn't steal. No Christian would be called legalistic for saying, thou shalt not steal. But now put in the second commandment, and all of a sudden, that's legalistic. Let's go even further. Someone says, I want to honor the fourth commandment and keep the rest day, the Sabbath day, holy. That's the kind of stuff that's being labeled as legalistic, when in fact, it is the law of God. See what we do? Freedom is on our terms. Christians are to honor the express law of God, not as a way to earn anything, but as a way of demonstrating gratitude for so great a gospel. You see, I don't try to honor and keep the law because I think I'm meriting my salvation before God. Christ has fulfilled all the terms of righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. But as Paul said now, do we then throw out the law? Is the law done with? Jesus made that statement that it's not. Paul said in Romans that we establish the law. In other words, the law becomes a rule of gratitude for the Christian. The law becomes something that, since it reflects the holiness of God, a Christian honors because he wants to be thankful for his Lord and Savior who died and gave his life for him. Here's the problem today. This is really important. The modern church today is antinomian. You know what that means? No law at all. Anti-law. They're lawless. And this appears to be what people mean when they say, we're not legalistic like those other churches. In other words, what they're saying is this: we won't require anything if you come to us. This is all an escape tactic for people who are running. I see this where people run from churches and they go to a church where they can hide that doesn't require anything. Doesn't matter if they even attend. Doesn't matter what they're doing in their private life. They can live dual lives this way. God's law is totally disregarded, and the consequences of this are evidenced in the way that people approach him in worship. They don't show any fear or reverence. The paradoxical thing here, however, is that to disregard the law of God this way, for instance, in how we are commanded to worship, actually forces church leaders to create their own ideas and inventions and impose those things on the people. Example, conversations with God in worship services, videos, dramas, liturgical dancing. I mean, the list here is endless. God didn't command those things. We think of Isaiah's words, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? So the one making the charge of legalism needs to look at the plank in his own eye for attacking people who are sincerely trying to honor the Lord's expressed will. God's will is very important. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. Is that legalistic? No. Disregarding the law of God, however, and imposing one's own ideas upon people is legalistic, is doing what Jesus condemned in Matthew chapter 15. Remember that? In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Remember what happened there? The Pharisees had come up to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and or mother.' Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" There's your best description in the Bible of legalism. Jesus wasn't casting down the law of God. He was angry because the law of God was disregarded as they imposed their own traditions and their own ideas upon it to make the law of no effect. So when the Lord says, "I want to be worshiped a certain way," and we call that legalistic and impose our own inventions and our own ideas upon people in worship, who really is being legalistic? We have to think about this today. We have to think about the charge, because it's irresponsible to say otherwise. God's commandments, honoring them, are not legalistic. It's imposing things upon people that God did not command. Now, who borders on legalism here? The freedom that we have is freedom, dear friends, within the bounds of God's law to honor it as a way of gratitude. People today are making the assumption that freedom is freedom to live outside of the bounds of God's law. Simply put, if you come to us, we won't require anything of you. We need to properly define legalism today as putting yokes over people for their justification before God in addition to faith in Christ. Did you get that? We need to define legalism as putting yokes over people for their justification before God in addition to faith in Christ. Yes, it's a problem, and yes, it's wrong. But this doesn't rule out a life of obedience to God's law as a way of gratitude for the grace given. As a matter of fact, the character of lawlessness, somebody who disregards the law of God, is characterized in the Bible as not being a Christian. Therefore, we should always ask people what they mean when they charge a church as being legalistic. If honoring the law of God earns a church or me the general charge of being legalistic, I respond by saying, "You err, not knowing the scriptures." And if this earns me the charge of having a bad reputation in the county or in the neighborhood or whatever, I humbly respond by saying that I'm in good company. Elijah was called a troubler in Israel. Jesus himself was hated and despised by men. The sad thing, dear radio listeners, however, is that in both cases, those men who attacked Elijah and Christ for speaking the truth were the children of Israel.
Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.